This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jenny hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you every week from Trinidad World Recording Studio, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, where we talk music, business, technology, life, at the front of earning a living, playing music, recording music, doing all kinds of other stuff, hoping only to enlighten your musical life, give you some perspective, some guiding light in the fog, these chaotic music times. We, the P2 Podcast, seek to enlighten, seek to give you some direction out there as we forge ahead in these unruly and uncertain times, not only in music, but in the world. Thrilled to be with you today, folks. Thrilled to be with you. Phil Pritchett here. I hope the day finds you all well. Anxiously awaiting another P2 Podcast there, sitting at work, pretending like you're not listening to the P2 Podcast as your boss strolls by. Perhaps you're on an airplane. You've downloaded a couple of these podcasts, anxiously awaiting a little perspective, a little insight into what's going on out there, and you're just easing back in your chair to be set adrift here for the next hour, just feeling yourself getting smarter listening to this program. Am I right? I hope so. Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome. Thrilled to be here. Well, 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 it's been another great week. Another great weekend. Gosh, I had a weekend off a while back we had the high school reunion, so I wasn't playing. We covered that last week, talking about getting the old band back together. But did some shows here recently. Our old friend, the Cypress Saloon, down there in Cypress, Texas. They're doing some cool stuff there, up there on 290. Telge Road. So many of y'all come out and see us there. We love it always. Our friends the Slow Rolling Lows are playing with us there. Great show. Thanks for coming out, everybody. Good times. We're going to be there at the Cypress Saloon the night before Thanksgiving this year. So put that on your calendar. What do they do there? $10. It's a Wednesday night, of course. The Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. Our friends Rose Hill, the podcast's own Rose Hill, Blake Myers, formerly of Texas High Life, his band, he and Mitch, going to be playing the show with us there the night before Thanksgiving in November. So check that out. We'll be headed right back there here in a few weeks, Thanksgiving. Hope to see everybody out at the Cypress Saloon then. But, man, thrilled to play there a few days ago. But the real story is different. The real story is that me, Phil, how you doing out there, fans? Got to have a little guys weekend a little bit. You see, folks, I'm married, love being married. I got the kids, the business, I'm running around. So I don't get to participate in a lot of, guy behavior. You know, sitting in sports bars for hours on end, drinking beer and eating chicken wings and watching games. You know, it's just not part of my life here. I left that part of my life behind me back in my early 20s somewhere. So, if you hadn't gotten your 20s, be sure and pick up those times of mine. I've left them laying around somewhere. Just grab them and move on. Good stuff. But I wake up on Saturday. We played in the Cypress Saloon on a Friday, and I was playing up at the lake, Pivotos place, Lake Bryan, solo on Saturday. So I had all day Saturday to kill in Houston. Well, of course, I'm with my good friend, the patron saint of the podcast, Kevin Haggard, down there in Houston. And his beautiful wife and child are out of town. And so Haggard and I, we're kind of like, man, let's watch some football, maybe go see a movie, I don't know. Just kill the day off. So we get some burgers on Saturday, and we think, man, what are we going to do? Well, what beckons us forth? You know what? You listen to this podcast out there, you fans. You are enlightened souls. You are on the out there on the front, on the very cutting edge by listening to this program. However, we as men, as people out there in the world, are not immune to the pleasures of just letting yourself go, dumbing yourself down to enjoy some mind-numbing entertainment. So I succumb to this on Saturday as I agree and find myself a little bit interested in going to see Jackass 3D. I get so tired sometimes of listening to jazz. You know me, listening to jazz and eating sushi or whatever I do, and just enlightening myself all the time, writing music, la-di-da. I just go, nah, look, we're just going to go watch some Jackass. Watch guys hurt themselves, stunts. I don't think I saw the second one. Man, this was a surprising hit. Did you see this? I mean, like $55 million opening weekend. Of course, every out movie seems like it does good opening weekend. But a lot of people were surprised that Jackass, I mean, it's kind of a, you know, it's sort of run its course, a lot of people thought. I mean, I certainly had. I hadn't thought about it. But some people had seen it. People were kind of talking about it. It's sitting down the road. Oh, man, I just felt myself getting dumber as I walked across the parking lot to go in here where I was going to pay $10 for some glasses. Actually, my friend Kevin Haggard picked up the tab on that. Thank you, Haggard. So we walk in there, man. Of course, we walk in, the two of us, to watch the film. You know, do you sit next to your friend in a movie like that when there's just two of you? Always a little strange to me. Now, I prefer the seat, leave the courtesy seat between us. Am I right or am I wrong? I don't know. Maybe other people don't think about this. I just like to spread out. I don't like to crowd anybody's space. So we leave the seat between us there. And man, I was not prepared for what I saw on the screen. Some cool sequences, super slow-mo with the 3D glasses as all kinds of disgusting things are getting flown around. But, dude, oh, my gosh, I was not prepared for what I saw. Not prepared at all. You know, there's kind of your run-of-the-mill, you know, getting hit in the groin stuff. It's always good for a chuckle. But, dude, this one scene, they put the big guy, the big fat guy on a treadmill, and they put his sweat, his perspiration in a cup. And then Steve-O, the crazy guy, is going to drink it. And, dude, I was kind of laughing, but I felt myself getting sick. And, man, I'm not, like, queasy at all. I can watch blood gush out of somebody's arm or something. I'm just not that way. You know, some people really can't look at stuff like that. I'm really not queasy at all. But, man, as this thing started to go down, I knew I was going to be having a problem. And I just leaned forward. I could not look. And what was worse is in the scene is he's getting ready to drink this, you know, God, it was like 6 ounces or 8 ounces of just pure human sweat. I'm gagging just talking. Did you hear me gag just then? Oh, I'm trying to laugh, but then I can't, dude. I do the thumbs in the ears and then hands over the eyes, and I just go head down. Because, dude, I am dry heaving as I'm hearing the sound of the retching and the vomit splattering all over the floor. And I look up, and some dude's like barfing on the camera in 3D, you know, in super slow-mo as he's just, you know, gagging down. I mean, it was disgusting. I don't... On the first thought, you'd think, like, that's not that gross for some reason. But, dude, I had the dry heaves. I can't remember going to a movie where I almost threw up. just by watching something. I've never done that in my life, just seen something and thrown up, ever. I've always had to have, like, be really sick or something. But on occasion, I can gag and dry heave if something hits me at the wrong moment. I'm reminded of a famous story when Doug Holm, my old bass player, and my old drummer Keith Robinson were driving from... I probably told this story before, forgive me if I have, but for those of you maybe new to the show, we were driving from Wichita Falls and to a show, and or from Amarillo to Wichita Falls, and Keith, our drummer, Keith Robinson, great drummer, had been out all night at the Waffle House. We don't know what happened. We don't know if he drank too much or ate some bad food or something. So he gets sick during the car trip, and Doug Holm, our bass player, is in the right behind me in the back seat. Keith is in the far back. So Keith finally goes, pull over, man, pull over. I was like, oh, no. So he pulled over. Keith opens the door, and, dude, all the sound, the gagging, the retching, the splattering. And so, dude, I just got my fingers in the ears. No, I just don't want to hear it. Oh, just fighting it down. And I look in the rearview mirror, and there, what do I see is Doug Holm, our bass player, just sitting there, patiently looking ahead, whistling a happy tune, and he's eating an orange. I'm like, Holm, how can you sit there and eat during a time listening to all this? He just shakes his head and goes, I've heard that sound so many times, Bridget. I'm immune to it now. I still remind him of that story all the time. Doug just goes, oh, yeah, man, that doesn't bother me at all. Oh, I long for his tolerance for that kind of thing. But in the world of rock and roll, you get hit with stuff like that occasionally. You know, it's like rock and roll is a vicious game, as the Ray Wiley Hubbard song says. You know, there is some blood, some vomit, and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But yes. You know what? I don't want anybody. We're playing on some stations out there. We got a lot of you listening to the show out there, the P2 podcast. Oh, I get some emails from people. Oh, Phil, you're listening to whatever you're listening to, Elton John and Elvis Costello, some of this brainy talking head stuff. And, play some country, play some down-homey kind of stuff. Hey, man, you know, I read and stuff like that. Whatever. But don't ever think for a minute that I'm not a guy's guy and I'm out there, you know, just drinking some beers, watching some Jackass. Pretty good stuff, though, man. Pretty funny. You know what? It's a good franchise. That thing has to be pretty profitable. They can't pay those guys anything hardly, can they? I don't know. Oh, man, this other time. And look, it's a spoiler alert. Spoiler alert if you don't want to go see this. It's not like there's a plot in this movie that I'm spoiling. But, dude, they tie some dental floss to one of these guys. One of this dude has a crooked tooth. It's crooked, but it's not loose. I mean, it's just a little crooked. He goes, I never really liked it my whole life. It's kind of turned. So he sits in a dentist chair. They get this dentist chair out on a stretch of road, and they tie a piece of dental floss on this guy's tooth and the other end to a Lamborghini. And Johnny Knoxville gets in this Lamborghini with this other guy and just takes off. And just all of a sudden, and it's hard to see what happened. It happened so fast, you know, the guy's doubled over. There's blood coming out of his mouth. You're like, oh, my gosh, disgusting. What? Well, dude, the thing with the 3D glasses, Jackass 3D, and it's not just the 3D, but the super slow-mo camera. So you got a slow-mo camera on this guy's face. As you see, they do a replay of just that line just straightening out and then just, boop, and there's this little sound, this little gonk, and dude, it just pulls this guy's, it's like one of his, you know, not his middle tooth, but right next to it, just plop, dude, he just plucks this tooth attached to the screen. I mean, it was just, you're laughing, and then you're also just disgusted and horrified. I hope that's the result, because that's the effect it has on me. Horrible, and they pick up, his tooth is like 2 inches long, but it's a permanent adult tooth. I wonder if they wave money in front of these guys, or if they're all just drunk and stoned, or, you know, while they're doing this. I mean, how can you put yourself up to something like that, or gear yourself up for that? You'd have to just be out of your freaking mind, really, if you think about it. But, man, you know, I know Steve-O and some of those guys, they're all sober now, right? They were on that show where they all got sober, and they were all on drugs and stuff like that. But I think for this third movie, they were all reasonably, back on the bandwagon. But, I mean, how do you say, all right, man, we're putting you in this dental chair here, and we're going to pull one of your teeth out with a Lamborghini. I mean, did they shoot him full of Novocaine like the dentist? Did they come give him a shot in the gums? Like, let's numb it at least. Or, did he just shotgun a few beers before he got the chop? I'm just like, how does he get up for something like that? Oh, mysterious. It's like a circus. Performance art, man. In the most disgusting sense you could possibly think of. Jackass 3D. Oh, man. Well, I just felt like a man again walking out of there. You know, I spend my days working, trying to forward the progress of whatever I can do. The progress of humanity, whatever. What do we artists try to do? I don't know. We go around trying to be understood. I don't know. I don't know what we're trying to do. Something on a certain level. Well, this was not on that level, man. This was just a base deal. Little vomit, little blood, some shocking, horrific scenes, and a lot of laughter. Me and Haggard were just dying laughing in that theater, man. Oh, my gosh. Between dry heaves at times. Oh, painful. It was painful laughing, and then just painful trying not to throw up the whole time. So there you go, man. I don't know if you call that a movie review. I don't even know if I'm, saying that you go see it. I don't know if I'm, giving it a good review or not. It is what it is. You know what it is going in, and it serves it up, and then some. Well, as promised, folks, in our next segment here, I think I hear the bus pulling up outside here at Trinidad World Recording, the screeching of the brakes. They're on the Miranda Lambert bus here, headed out on the road again. You know of whom I speak, my good old friend, Electric Al. Alex Whedon is in town. He's up from Austin, getting on the Lambert bus to go meet the band, playing some shows this week. And he's been asking me for a long time, man, I need to be coming on that podcast and talking about the old, learning to play guitar and, all the Miranda stuff. Well, on our last show, we talked a lot with Alex about our common history, how he and I got started playing the guitar and running around at summer camp there in Colorado at the great Blue Mountain Ranch. And anyway, I kind of got a background for where he was coming from playing guitar. I've gotten all your emails. We love Alex. Dee, dee, dee. Oh, the girls love him. The girls love him, as do the gentlemen. For his guitar playing prowess, his charm, his personality, and so much more. Alex Whedon is going to be joining us here in a few minutes to talk more about his life with the Miranda Lambert band here these last 4 or 5 years. Rubbing elbows backstage with all the big folks, man. Just living the dream. Electric Al, coming up next. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Enlightening your musical life from Fort Worth, Texas. As promised, folks, in the continuing saga of my musical life, man, we got a lot of email on Alex Whedon. The great Electric Al last week. He is back here this week. Alex Whedon is here.
Yay!
Everyone's favorite guitar player, who has now been with Miranda Lambert now for 5 years. Hard to believe it's been 5 years since I gave that reference to Rick Lambert for Jordan Powell. Man, Powell just took everybody with him.
Yeah, he did.
He blew this whole thing up.
He did.
And maybe that was the end of the peak of the Texas music scene, when Jordan Powell just went to Miranda. He took you with him.
Fault.
He took Aiden.
Aiden Bubeck.
Another Fort Worth guy.
Yeah.
Bass player. Played with, who did he play? Max Stalling.
Max Stalling.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Great bass player. He just gathered up all the Fort Worth boys.
He did.
Hit the road. Well, man, how has this thing been, man? Has it been a strange, it's got to kind of play with your sense of reality a bit to be,
man,
out there playing on these CMAs and all these award shows and.
There's a lot of
taking iPhone photos with you and Jack Black or whatever.
there's a lot of pinch me moments, I'm still in the honeymoon phase still. It's been over 5 years and it's like
new stuff just happening all the time.
It's still going up. Which
when
is
was
crazy.
The first moment? I mean, you went out with her, okay, she's been on the show, she's got a little something going on. Was there a moment or meeting somebody or a show where you're like, man, this I might have a job here for the next several years.
I just remember we did probably 3 months after I joined, 1 month into it,
uh-huh.
We did the Keith Urban tour.
Okay.
Now, does she have a record out now already? Which one?
Yeah, she had Kerosene out.
Okay.
And then about 3 months later, I'm playing Madison Square Garden on television. I'm meeting Paul Simon, Billy Joel, all these people backstage, Richie Sambora.
Golly.
And it was just surreal. And it was the show where all this fire and stuff had gone off.
Now, is this the award show?
The award show. It was the CMAs at Madison Square.
That's right, where she lit the stage on fire.
Yeah.
And Powell texts me that night because he goes, "Watch this, man. She's going to do a Pritchett guitar throw across the stage."
Yeah.
Was it that one? It might have been one of the other shows.
That was a different one, I think.
That might have been a different
one. Actually, I think she did the throw
one. Yeah, he texted me because we used to rehearse that and throw the guitar across the stage.
But what's crazy is she messed up. She went into another verse when you weren't supposed to. This is on live national television. And so we all kind of just figured it out. You know, we've got our ear monitors in and figured it out, and we went with it. And she starts just stomping her feet and twirling around, and it became like this, wow, man, she's up there. This girl's a rocker.
Yeah, just in the moment.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was like, it was a beautiful mistake, you know?
Right.
It was great.
And yeah, man, because she can pull it off, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Up front. So how'd you, I mean, meeting Billy Joel and Paul Simon, did you just say hi as you're getting some food or something? Just,
it's crazy. Oh, I'll tell you a funny story.
What do you say? Like,
The best to me was Richie Sambora, because my dad had always watched Behind the Music.
Guitar player for Bon Jovi, of course.
Yeah, and he saw this Behind the Music on them, and it was, you know, it was Bon Jovi talking about Richie Sambora. I could never do it without Richie. And so my dad, my whole life, all he's ever said is, "Son, you need to be Richie Sambora. You need to be the guy that they can't do it without."
This is what your dad tells you?
Yeah, he always had told me that my whole life.
That's right.
And so I knew he was going to be there. It was my goal to meet.
How many parents tell their kid to be Richie Sambora?
Yeah, exactly. So it was my goal to meet Richie.
That's good
advice. To meet Richie and you know, just so I could tell my dad I met Richie.
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes walking off stage and shakes our hands and stuff. And I was going to get a picture with him. Mm-hmm. And then he starts walking off, and he's about 20 yards away. And Aiden goes, "Man, that was your chance to get a picture." And I was like, "Richie!" And I yell his name, and Miranda slaps me in the face and goes, "Alex, no, no."
You're just totally geeking out over it.
Just geeking. And they still, to this day, make fun of me for that night.
Richie!
Did
he turn around, or did he just go off into the night?
No, he acted like he didn't hear, of course.
Yeah, you know? That's what happens to him every time he comes off stage somewhere. Did you have any better luck with anybody else? Who else? I saw you sent me a record. You sent me some pictures of all kinds of, or maybe Powell forwarded on.
Yeah,
you,
man, we've met so
Kid
many
Rock.
People.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
Just everybody.
Everybody.
I guess. I mean, it's just who? Anybody? Strike a chord? Anybody sort of memorable?
Billy Gibbons was a big one.
Yes.
Yeah, he was at one of the award shows, and he came back, and we just started talking about the show, and he was like, "Yeah, I saw you were having some problems with your ears. I saw you take your ear monitor out." Like, he was, you could tell he had paid attention.
He'd watched the show.
Yeah, right. And, you know, that's so crazy at those shows, because the curtain lifts. And you look out, and there's Keith Urban and Billy Gibbons and, like,
you're just standing there with your guitar. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I couldn't even imagine being Miranda, you know. I'm just side guy Bob over here. And to be the one that's on the camera the whole time, that's got to be nerve-wracking.
It is, man. Well, I got a kick out of those early, really, the award shows, because Pal would always text me, "Hey, man, we're going to be on tonight. We're going to be on." So, you know, watching you and Aiden.
Yeah.
And I'd see Pal, this blonde hair, just, you know, scurrying around behind the drum riser. Well, the cool thing was a couple summers ago, Powell texted me that, "Hey, man, we're playing in Colorado," and I was up there with the family at the camp, the camp me and Alex went to as kids, as a matter of fact, Blue Mountain Ranch, love you, BMR. So, and I said, to be honest with you, I was like, "What is she playing? You know, some place out in Denver?" Or something.
Right.
I was kind of like, "Oh man, I'm here at the camp." He goes, "We're playing at Red Rocks, man." I was like, "Really?" And I'd never been to Red Rocks.
Yeah.
Had y'all already played there?
We've done it twice. I can't remember if you came the second time or the first time.
This was the Toby Keith one.
Okay, that was the second. We did it with Keith Urban.
With Urban the first time. Okay.
That's a surreal moment, too, playing Red Rocks.
Yes. Did you play the intro to Sunday Bloody Sunday?
Oh, yeah. During sound check, of course. You have to.
Does everybody do that?
I think it's a pre-qualification, you know?
Some of these young kids might be scratching their head out there. You two, Under a Blood Red Sky. Live at Red Rocks.
The video.
What was that, 1982? Of course, that was when we were young and impressionable.
Time. Oh, yeah.
And playing guitar. With the torches going off.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to YouTube and U2 Red Rocks. I know you think U2 is just a bunch of glitzy, bloated, overpaid, old classic rockers. But go back, 1982, YouTube, and check out U2 at Red Rocks. and you'll see what we're talking about, the venue, the rocks, and all that. Of course, people know what Red Rocks is. Probably the worst.
Yeah.
Maybe the most unique, recognizable venue.
It's pretty fun.
But that was a cool moment. I took one of the kids from camp, David Graff, who owns the camp. His family owns it. And I didn't tell him what was going on, because I didn't know if we'd just be sort of sitting in the seats or something. Of course, Powell just had us under the stage.
Yeah.
And it was a surreal deal.
Yeah, that's cool.
Standing there watching you guys play. How many shows a year do y'all play? Does it vary or is it pretty consistent?
I think it's around about 110.
Right.
Now, it was a lot more when I first started with her. It's kind of gotten less and less, but in a good way. You know, it's like now it's more, you know, leave Wednesday, come home Sunday, and do 3 or 4 gigs on a weekend. Usually.
Do you play a certain, y'all got a deal with like Gibson, pals tell me?
Yeah.
Is it Gibson? Is that right?
Yeah, they've given me like 5 or 6 guitars.
Is that right?
Awesome.
You know, Powell had a couple of Les Pauls at his house or something that, like, Wheaton didn't like this one, man. I was like, what? I was like, can I have it? He wouldn't let me take it, though.
It's probably still sitting under his bed.
What are some of the other perks? Give me a little sample of life on the road. Of course, I got to go on y'all's sweet bus. You got a great bus,
of
course.
Yeah, they're nice.
And Miranda's got her own bus.
She does.
I freaked that kid out because we went on Miranda. I didn't ask to do any of this. Pal goes, man, go say hi to Miranda. So we went on her bus.
Yeah.
You know, with her little dog and mirrors everywhere. Well, you know, it looked like what you'd think.
Yeah.
So y'all got the band bus. Y'all still on 2 buses?
We're on 3 now. We've got one from Texas, which is most of the band and a couple crew guys. And then there's a Nashville bus, which is mostly crew and 1 band guy.
And y'all just kind of rendezvous wherever?
Yeah. Right there. Yeah. It's just
every show? Or does she ever just say, hey, man, this is just speakers on sticks? I'm just showing up in the station wagon.
No, man. No. She's carrying all the production and everything now. It's like lights and
like an 18-wheeler.
Sound. Yeah, we've got gear. 3 18-wheelers out there now.
3 18-wheelers on the road and 3 buses?
It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are the what is a surprisingly great market and a surprisingly bad market, would you say? Where do you love to play?
My favorite of all time is Chicago.
Yeah.
Just because I love the city.
Joe's.
Yeah,
y'all play
Joe's.
Somewhere else now?
We all
started playing there.
I think she'll do Joe's forever just because they're so great.
Oh, it's so great.
They're so great to her, you know? That's a fun bar.
Very, very fun.
Yeah.
I got to play there with Rodney Foster. We went up there and played. We did a festival there. So we played Joe's a few times. And, yeah, he always spoke highly of Miranda. Ed. And this is a couple of years ago, I guess. But he's like, man, Miranda still shows up and plays. And,
yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. We'll go down there and do like 2 nights. And
yeah.
I hope that she'll continue to
do it. Y'all play another venue? Where else do y'all play up there?
Last time we played Grant Park, where they do the Lollapalooza. We just did an outdoor thing.
With a tour? I mean, with a bunch of bands kind of thing?
I think that was something the city put on.
Okay.
We actually got to play Soldier Field last year, too.
Yeah.
Which is probably one of my favorite gigs of all time.
Soldier Field, Chicago.
It was with Kenny Chesney, so
big tour.
It was sold out Soldier Field. It was just unbelievable.
That's incredible, man.
Unbelievable.
That is just incredible. Do you have your own tech guy, or is it Jordan, or who do you have?
Yeah, I've got a tech. Yeah.
Who is it?
A guy named Sammy Bones.
Where'd y'all find him?
We got him from Toby Keith. He's been around since he played with Cinderella actually back in the day. He's tech for Poison. Cinderella.
All the greats.
Oh, yeah.
I bet he's got a lot of good stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He teched for Dave Navarro for a while.
Jane's Addiction great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
So y'all got how many people on the road? So you got 3 buses, 3 18-wheelers, and how many guys in the band?
There's six, including Miranda.
Five
band members.
And how many crew?
I think maybe 12. I guess.
12?
I guess. I don't even. Damn, I think there's 22 employees total.
You got somebody shining your shoes? I mean, what do they do?
Man, I'm trying to figure out some of them.
If I got somebody selling my t-shirts, I'm like, man, we're living large. You know? you got probably a couple front of house guys.
Yeah, it's funny.
Monitor guys.
Yeah, the front of the house guy has his own tech. And then, you know, the lighting guy has a lighting tech. It's funny. You know,
one guy is the guy, and the other guy kind of does the work.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody has an assistant.
We've got one guy that does nothing, I don't think, but hang tapestries.
Right.
I'm serious.
Just, like, decorate the stage.
Yeah, he decorates the
rugs,
the back room.
The backdrop, the back room.
Yeah, the green room.
Y'all travel with your own LCD TVs?
Yeah, I guess they're LCD. I don't know what they are. There's some kind of lights in the back.
But y'all actually travel with your own TVs and couches and things like that?
No, they provide the couches, but our guy goes in there and decorates the whole green room.
The backstage.
With, you know, the booze and the tapestries and the record player and all that.
Yeah, Wayne, you've made it, man.
it's great.
Y'all, I might have mentioned on the podcast, you know, at that Red Rock show, man, there was all that kind of stuff backstage.
Yeah.
A lot of it was probably Toby Keith stuff.
But yeah.
you know, massage rooms,
oh, yeah,
and lighting and food and just, you know, a place to get a, you know, a pedicure or something.
Right.
Like, what is all this stuff? Like, that's how we roll, man, you know.
It's hilarious.
It is. It's amazing. Golly, man. How do you ever go back to real life after that? Maybe you won't have to.
I don't know.
Maybe you
know.
Won't have to, Al.
Knock on wood.
You know?
Man.
Oh, jeez.
It's one of those deals, like, if I ever catch myself complaining about anything, I stop real fast.
You ever bitch about, like, the water or something? Like, what is this water?
Yeah, and you, then you I catch
am?
Yourself.
Don't they know who I am? Yeah. So Soldier Field, great show. Is there a place you've been where you're just like, man, this is always a little weird, maybe this isn't our...
Oh,
or is it kind of the same everywhere to go?
It's kind of the same everywhere.
Yeah?
She's at that level now where it's kind of like...
People know her.
Everywhere she goes, it's a great crowd.
Yeah.
I guess the weirdest crowds are like L.A. because they have so much music that...
Everybody,
you know, you kind of get that bogey
putt. Seen it all.
You get the bogey putt clap.
Yeah,
you
know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good to see her out here again.
Yeah.
Well, man, what about, does she do much touring overseas or Canada? Or
We just got back from Switzerland.
That's what Pal sent me a text from Switzerland.
Yeah.
We're in Switzerland, man.
About a month ago, and we're going to Australia at the top of this next year.
Cool.
And it's already all sold out. It's us and Alan Jackson, I think.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Can I go?
Yeah, come on.
Come on, dude. Who do I have to know?
Jordan?
Do I have to know? Jordan Powell, huh? He's hard to get a hold of these days.
He is.
Even for me.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to always just get right back. He goes, he's always asleep or...
He's a busy
during
man.
...during the day or running around. So he's still just the number one guy.
Yeah, he's the head tour
the
manager.
The road manager.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
He is busy.
What a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Well, come on, man. Who else? Billy Gibbons. Who else left an impression, man?
I got to meet Katherine Heigl, I guess, 2 weeks ago, the girl from Knocked Up.
Nice. Yes, of course. Actress.
She's married to the opening guy. The opening guy.
Who?
Josh Kelly.
Yeah, I know the name.
Yeah, it's his
I
wife.
I didn't know that. Okay.
She was real sweet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good deal.
Those cool. are Reese Witherspoon was a big one for me, just because she's so cute, you know?
Yeah. Where'd you meet her?
The CMAs in Nashville 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just kind of, you just feel like walking around drunk backstage, taking pictures with your iPhone.
Oh, yeah. And I'm the nerd that, I'm not shy. I'll get a picture. I don't care. I want proof, you know?
That's right. I gotta get a picture for me. Come on.
I mean, you can go Photoshop it, but I want the real deal, you know?
Come on. Any late wild nights with somebody, just you and Paul Simon sitting on a tower somewhere, just going, what does it all mean, man? Anything like that?
I'll tell you, the best one was John Daly, because I'm a big golfer.
Here we go, podcast listeners. We've been digging for 2 weeks now. John Daly.
It was
what
huge.
Happened? John Daly, where'd you run into him?
I ran into him at a show in Tampa, Florida. He was just there backstage.
The great PGA golfer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, has struggled with all kinds of
definitely
weight, alcohol, but also a musician, right?
Oh, yeah.
Plays guitar, sings.
Yeah, he plays guitar and sings. I went up to him and, you know, I was just going to be my germ self and get a picture with him. And we ended up hitting it off.
Yeah.
And
he'll shoot the bull with you.
Oh,
daily.
Yeah. He ends up giving me his phone number, taking my phone number. Then all of a sudden we're backstage. He gets really drunk.
Oh, no.
And so they're kind of asking him nicely to leave.
You know
leave.
What? I think I've heard, not from you, but...
Has Jordan told you
the
story?
Well, it's already kind of a legendary deal.
So
you and Daly, buddies.
Yeah, so we're buddy-buddy.
Moving it up.
He's getting thrown out. He looks across the room to me and goes, Alex! I said, yeah. And he goes, who loves you in this world more than I do? I said, I don't know. And he goes, no one. And he goes, puts his hand up to his ear and goes, call me. And I look at Jordan. I go, please tell me you just saw that. And he goes, oh, yeah.
PGA champ, British Open champion, John Daly.
Yeah, he's great.
Loves Alex Wheaton.
That was a surreal
Does he
moment.
Ever come out to anything? Have you seen him
He
since?
Was at the last CMAs again. And
he
invited me to a party at a bar later. Yeah. And I went over and hung out with him there.
Good deal, man.
Yeah.
Good.
He's real nice.
Who else? Who else is in that?
Let me think.
Or I don't know. Who's kind of tough? Anybody just sort of jerky backstage? Just like, man, come on, man.
Man, there was one football player. We met a lot of football players on
the athletes kind of different than. See, musicians are always pretty cool.
And man, all the football
like,
players
hey, man, love
were
your guitar
too.
And stuff, you know?
Every football player is like that, too, except we met one guy that wasn't the nicest. He was a cowboy, too, which made me real sad.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know.
Oh, come on, man.
I can't say it. I feel too
come
bad.
Come on.
And he wasn't even that he was a jerk. He was just real standoffish.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, most of them are like, what's up, dude?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's great stuff. Well, what is her new... So she's nominated for all these awards.
Yeah, nine.
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 Awesome, man.
Set a record.
That sets a record.
Yeah.
Is there like a book or something that goes in?
Yeah, she's the most a woman has ever been nominated for.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So when is that coming on?
It's next Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think So basically not.
So Wednesday night, yeah. Excellent, man. Miranda Lambert out there garnering praise, awards, and also reaping the benefits from hiring Alex Whedon on guitar, my old longtime childhood friend, and from hiring the great Jordan Powell, my old road manager. Gosh, she was in good hands when those two things happened. I've been reaping the benefits ever since. Phil Pritchard on the P2 Podcast, Electric Alex Whedon here. Man, just sharing 2 weeks of his life with us here. Talking about our common history together, going to camp, playing guitars, trying to figure it out there. And man, this segment talking about his time on the road, just rubbing elbows with all the greats out there in entertainment. All over the world, riding on one of his three buses, 18-wheelers, getting free guitars from Gibson.
It's horrible.
Oh, I'd love to hate you, but I just can't. Everyone loves Alex Whedon. Thanks for being here, Al, for dropping by on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We will check back with him, man, hopefully many times. We need some more reports from the
definitely.
The road of from the world of high country music. Well, stay tuned, folks. We're going to walk over here, blindfold myself into the vault, see if I can get my hands on a record over there. I don't even know what it's going to be. Stay tuned. Surprise yourself. We'll be right back.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no, or a man who makes potions in a traveling show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you. And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I put down the words how wonderful life is while you're in.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Thrilled to be with you as always, folks. Thanks for listening out there, for all your letters, for all your support. And thanks especially for downloading Blueprint Garage Volume 3 at P2Tunes.com now. Just waiting for you. The whole record there. I don't know, what is it, 12, 13, 14 songs for just $4. Go grab that. Check it out. Well, here in the vault, we're going to 1970, everyone. 1970 to England. Oh, man, I've been seeing Elton and his buddy Leon Russell, the great Leon Russell, who my band opened for Corpus Christi years ago at the Surf Club. Came out looking like the Abominable Snowman, just the long white hair, beard, sunglasses, the cane. He looked quite the same. I've seen him on TV the last few days. Yes, indeed. Elton and Leon out there making things happen. They did a duo record. Alas, I'm not too interested in that. Not too interested in that, but it got me to thinking about Elton. Went back there and was digging through some Elton John vinyl. I think we've done Tumbleweed Connection, the great record that he did, one of my favorites. Well, this was Elton's second album, simply titled Elton John. That came out in 1970. His first release was actually an album called Empty Sky, which I also have. But that was not released in the U.S. This was his second record, but the first thing that anybody heard in the United States from Reginald Dwight, as he was born, in England. Of course, the song we kicked off there, Your Song, it's one of Elton's first early huge hits. But this record is great, man. It's so dark and just warm and velvety. You know, it doesn't have any of the pop sheen that a lot of his later stuff had. This is just, as Kurt South famously pointed out, this was Elton, you know, pimpled-faced, weird, insecure, back in his early days when guys tend to make their best music. So this was definitely, Elton was definitely seemed to be at that period in his life, just starting to write, just starting to record and, you know, become a solo artist. So, produced by the great Gus, Dudgeon, who was a great, record producer, in these days, British guy. He produced, oh man, like David Bowie. I think Space Oddity, you know, David Bowie. Ground Control to Major Tom. I believe that was produced by, Gus. And, it's just got a great dark feel to it. The themes of the song are about, you know, death and life and love. And there's just this somberness to it. It's a great mood record. You can put this whole album on and just sort of chill out to it. It's one of my go-to records when I'm going to listen to the entire album. Elton's first United States release, his second record, Elton John. I love the second track here. I believe it's the second song on the album. I need you to turn to. Check it out. Elton going 1970 here. Hang on, folks. I need you to turn to.
You're not a ship to carry my life. You are nailed to my love in many lonely nights. I strayed from the cottages and found myself here. Oh, I need your love. Your love protects my peace. And I wonder sometimes, and I know I'm unkind, but I need you to turn to, and I act so blind. And I need you to turn to, and I lose control. My guardian angel who keeps out the cold. Did you paint your smile on? Well, I said I knew that my reason for living was for loving you. We're related in feeling, with your high above. You're pure and you're gentle, with the grace of a dove. And I wonder sometimes, and I know I'm unkind, but I need you to turn to, when I act so blind. And I need you to turn to, control. You're my guardian angel who keeps out the cold.
Wistful, morose, foreboding, but still shot through with hope. What do I say every week on the podcast? If someone came in with that song today to Trinidad World Recording, I'd rip my own head off. So get to work out there, songwriters. Bring them to me. Good stuff, isn't it? Along those same lines, you've got this next track here. This is a another one of my favorites off here. 60 years on. You know, what's it going to be like, you know, when he's 60 years old? The young Elton talking to the old Elton. The old Elton recording with Leon Russell. This is the young Elton calling out to him across the ages in a time warp. I love the symphony here, the strings, the swarm of bees kind of kicking it off here. Very strange. When this song comes on in the house, the kids go, "Dad, what is that?" The bees, the swarm of bees here. Then it just breaks into this lovely tune. Elton, 60 years on.
Thank you. When I'm 60 years of age, when the ragged dog they gave me has been 10 years in the grave. Senorita, play guitar, play it just for you. My rosary has broken and my beads have all slipped through. Giving me holds nothing for a gun. I've no wish to be living 60 years on. Oh, 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 oh.
Classic track, Elton John, 1970, from his self-titled second record. Elton John. Oh, man, just seeing Elton and Leon on all these talk shows, I get a little depressed. He's older. He's trying to do stuff new. And I think I'm the biggest Elton John fan in the world, but if I'm not interested, who is? And it doesn't make me go out and buy his new record with Leon Russell. It just makes me go back and listen to his early stuff and just wonder, well, at least we have this. Thank you, sir. Sir Elton Reginald Dwight. Thank you very much for this record, and thank you, fans, for joining us for yet another edition of the P2 Podcast. Every week coming to you here from Trinidad World Recording, how about my good friend Electric Al, Alex Whedon from Miranda Lambert's band, dropping by, talking about just rubbing elbows with all the rock star country music elite at all these award shows. We wish him great luck out there, my old road manager, Jordan Powell, keeping him in line out there on one of the five buses, whatever they got out there. Whedon, man, look for him on these award shows. He'll probably be playing a Les Paul and, with a big smile on his face, a big grin. Alex Whedon, thanks for coming by, Al. Maybe he'll be dropping by. He always comes to Fort Worth to hook up with the Lambert buses every week or so. So look for Al on future podcasts. Man, he's got tons of stories. we quit recording that segment. He's just like, oh, man, I can't believe I didn't tell you about this. I can't believe I forgot to tell you about this. So look for more Alex Whedon on the podcast, the podcast's very own Alex Whedon. Well, call me, 817-733-5256, or email me, phil@philpritchett.com, for your comments on the podcast, or, of course, as always, to book the full band. We're out there playing along, playing shows. We want to come play a show for you. So give us a call or shoot me an email, and we'll make it happen. That's all we got for this week of the podcast, folks. We'll be back next week with more exciting, enlightening music broadcasting. Take care of each other out there. Much tougher.
Oh, Lord Moses, I have been removed. I have seen the specter. He has been here too. Distant cousin from down the line. Brand of people who ain't my kind. Oh, Lamb Moses, I have been removed. Oh, Lamb Moses.